This is Jay Sekulow. The president invokes scripture in his justification for an executive order. He should also be reading the U.S. Constitution.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Scripture tells us that we shall not oppress a stranger, for we know the heart of a stranger. We were strangers once, too. My fellow Americans, we are and always will be a nation of immigrants. We were strangers once, too.
He was making it impossible to build the trust necessary to work together. As I warned the president, you can't ask the elected representatives of the people to trust you to enforce the law if you're constantly demonstrating that you can't be trusted to enforce the law. The president never listened. And with this action, he's refused to listen to the American people.
Your response?
Well, my response is pass a bill. The truth is that the Senate did a good job in crafting a bipartisan bill that would have greatly improved our immigration system. And my preference is for a legislative solution to this problem.
But that didn't happen.
And it didn't happen because the Speaker would not call the bill for a vote in the House.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The notion that this is just prosecutorial discretion is simply nonsense. The Constitution gives Congress the authority to establish our immigration laws. And what the president announced this week is a wholesale refusal to follow our immigration laws, to enforce our immigration laws. Essentially, he's gotten in the job of counterfeiting immigration papers because there's no legal authority to do what he's doing. He's simply giving work or authorizations and claiming unilateral authority.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, that now that we've had a weekend to review the president's executive order, look at the Department of Justice defense of the executive order, you realize what the president sold and what he has the authority to do are really two very different things. And I think that's going to come up in the next couple of weeks. You're going to hear more about that. But how do you feel about the idea that the president on his own initiative has, through the stroke of a pen, changed the immigration laws of the United States, or at least is attempting to the point where he's not only doing what they would call prosecutorial discretion, that is not deporting, but giving a substantive right to work to people that are not here legally or did not go through a legal process. And how about the fact that the president has done this on, you know, I believe in immigration reform. I've said that before. But what we're really dealing with this is lawlessness on behalf of the executive. And, Jordan, that's my view of what we're really facing here.
That's right. And you hear those sound bites from people like Senator Ted Cruz. The idea that the president is trying to grant substantive rights on his own as executive, and his only response to not having legislative authority and not having legislation to back that up is that Congress should do something. That's the only talking point from this administration, is Congress hasn't done anything. Well, Congress doesn't have to act on what the president wants. They certainly can, but he's been unwilling to work with House Republicans, and now look what's happened to him. He's lost control of the Senate, so he's either going to have to compromise or it's going to be the next 2 years of this presidency is going to be how much can I do without congressional authorization?
Well, clearly the plan then is to not have congressional authorization because he's had 2 years to get immigration reform done. By the way, when he had the House and the Senate, he chose not to do it.
Yeah, Jordan's exactly right. Congress doesn't have to act if they don't want to. But also, his party controlled Congress for much of the time that we're talking about. And by the way, the newly elected Congress, Jay, they're not even here yet. They're not even seated. So for all the president knows, that Congress would have acted once they were seated.
It's so unbelievable what's happened here, folks. This is a giant power grab. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. What's your reaction to this, and what do you want to do about it? 800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got a petition up and growing. Tell Congress, just don't fund the executive order. It's that simple. You control the purse. Don't fund the president's executive order. You want to sign on to that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Don't forget, folks, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. You could do that at ACLJ.org. And how do you feel about your president's power grab here? We want to talk to you. 1-800-684-3110. Back with your calls in a moment.
In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Do we want to get up, take notice here, take action? That's the band here at Jay Sekulow Live. But what we're asking you to do is join with us to stop President Obama's lawless executive order. That's what this is. You can call it a lot of things, but at the end of the day, that's what it is. He doesn't have the authority to do this. There's no underlying statute he's seeking to enforce. The president is doing this because he said, well, Congress isn't. Well, Congress had made proposals. The president didn't like those. The president controlled the House and the Senate for 2.5 years. He didn't move it then. And now let's blame the conservatives. Well, the reality is, we're going to take your calls on this. The fact of the matter is that this is, no matter what your position is on immigration, what you really should be concerned about is that the president has done this on his own, that he has taken the authority himself as chief executive. That is the problem. That is a move, in my view, that is more like a monarch or a king, not like an elected president of a constitutional republic. And that's the fundamental reason why we're asking you to sign on to this petition. We have it up at aclj.org. You can sign it there, certainly, at aclj.org. Or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. I want to get to 50,000 signatures by the end of the week, if possible, here, folks. So we really need your help. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign. You can participate in that as well at aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Let's kind of get some reaction here, Jordan, to how the kind of the view in Washington on this. Obviously, it was big news last week. Then we've got the news this morning that the Iranian negotiations are going to be extended, that they've not come to an agreement. That's not a shock. Then you've got today also Chuck Hagel being announcing his resignation as Secretary of Defense. He should have never been the Secretary of Defense in the first place. But all of this is happening simultaneously, and you wonder, is all this the distraction for what the president has done and is about to do?
That's right. I mean, you look at all these issues, and so what are we not talking about as much today? The fact that the Iranian nuclear negotiations get extended 7 months, which includes 7 months of $700 million a month sanctions relief for Iran. They haven't even come up with a new framework yet, but basically, again, no agreement met, but we still give them sanctions relief, $700 million a month in sanctions relief, and that's just from the United States when you look at the group negotiating with Iran. So, again, they've kind of kicked the can down the road till July on that. You look at the issue involving Chuck Hagel, the Secretary of Defense, and they're trying to, again, blame him for the Islamic State. We oppose Chuck Hagel's nomination. He was a Republican, the only Republican in this administration at cabinet level and part of the defense team, and we opposed his nomination. That being said, to blame Chuck Hagel for ISIS and not the President of the United States and the top leadership, which is the president who sets the agenda, we knew Hagel was put in place to really just input the Obama agenda without question. And now they're trying to blame him for doing just that. So you've got Chuck Hagel and, of course, the immigration action that we're talking about in today's show. You put this all together. In just the past 4 days, we have had major policy announcements when it comes to domestic policy and foreign policy, and a huge shift and a question now of who will lead our Department of Defense and our armed forces.
And, Than, as it relates to the immigration issue, what is your sense in talking to your contacts on Capitol Hill? I know you've been busy with it last week and even this morning. What is the sense there on this executive order? This is a huge move.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be the primary fight when Congress is back for just about a week or so starting next week, Jay. Remember, December 11th is when they have to next fund the government. Now, people need to remember, Harry Reid is still going to be involved in that process. So the funding issue that we are asking for, Jay, December 11th is a key date there. But next year, for the next fiscal year, is when the new Congress can actually accomplish this. They can move all of the other spending bills for the rest of government, pass them through the president, get them signed into law. And then just in that one spending bill, the Department of Homeland Security, don't fund this effort. I think that's what you're going to see happen. It won't be a government shutdown showdown. The president will have to decide whether and what he's going to do with that very narrow piece of it. I think it's going to be targeted, and I think you're going to see it right out of the gate.
All right, folks, so we want you to participate in this and have your voice heard on this president's actions. If you disagree with what the president's done here by taking an executive order, even if you think immigration reform is necessary, which I do, but I don't think this is the way to do it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We're going to go right to our phones. Phone lines are jammed. Jordan, who do we have first?
Yeah, let's go to Bruce in Colorado on line two. Bruce, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Bruce.
Hi. You know, regarding Obama's decree about the immigration reform,
yep.
I'm wondering if those underneath him should just ignore him. I mean, in the past, he's advised people under him, if they felt like a law wasn't fair, they should ignore it. And obviously, this decree is unfair to people who have waited for years to go through the process legally. And then you wait until, you know, they scrap it out with Congress to find out if this decree is revocable.
Well, look, I don't think that his underlings, they're moving in lockstep with the president here. So I don't see any way that the attorney general or the Homeland Security or the Immigration Naturalization Service or ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, are going to do anything other than what the president has said. Now, who's reacting right now are the local sheriffs on these border counties to the Mexican border that are saying this is going to wreak havoc in their enforcement issues. And those, I was on, I believe it was Neil Cavuto's program, maybe it was even with Sean Hannity. We've had discussions with the sheriffs, and they are very, very concerned about this. So local law enforcement is, Bruce, where the opposition is going to be. I don't see a federal resistance other than if the Congress says we're not going to fund it. And again, it's a targeted shutdown of one program, not of the government. But again, Jordan, right now, the will to do that is going to depend on if the American people speak out.
That's exactly right. You know, the people have got to get behind this effort, because without that, then the president gets away with what he's doing, at least for now. This is not a long-term solution for any kind of immigration reform. It's not a pathway to citizenship for people. It's a two-year kind of reprieve. I think what Senator Cruz is right, the idea that we're counterfeiting immigration papers. The reason he's saying that is because it could be so easily revoked by the next president of the United States. And with the action of just a pen, the signature, all of the people who think they got relief here and may have gotten relief here, that's over with and gone and done with. And the other question, of course, is this president, is this really the end of his executive actions, or is it just the beginning? I mean, we're talking about what he did immediately following the midterm elections. What is going to stop him in the next Congress from trying to take on more executive power?
Yeah, let me play for you what Senator Ted Cruz said about exactly that. Jordan just was mentioning it. Go ahead.
The notion that this is just prosecutorial discretion is simply nonsense. The Constitution gives Congress the authority to establish our immigration laws. And what the president announced this week is a wholesale refusal to follow our immigration laws, to enforce our immigration laws. Essentially, he's gotten in the job of counterfeiting immigration papers because there's no legal authority to do what he's doing. He's simply giving work authorizations and claiming unilateral authority.
You know, Senator Cruz is right, and he's been on this broadcast, and we've discussed it. And what I've said from the beginning here, even if you're in favor of really comprehensive immigration reform, the way to do it is through the legislative process, not by taking authority you don't have. You're not, the president here is not imposing or enforcing an existing law where he's issuing regulations per an executive order. He's actually creating law. But we've got an objecting voice on this, and we want to take those that are opposed as well. Cecilia's calling on line six from Sacramento, California. Cecilia, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Objecting vote.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead and turn your radio down, Cecilia. There you go.
Okay.
Okay, now go ahead.
I was calling because I think President Obama has had to do what he had to do because Congress and the House and the Senate weren't moving. They were sitting on their laurels. And the
Cecilia, let me ask you, though. The president controlled the House and the Senate for the first 2.5 years of his presidency and did not move immigration reform forward. So doesn't he take part of the blame here?
No. You know,
no? Why? Well, why?
Because he is doing his best, but nobody wants to work with him.
But hold it. The president controlled the House and the Senate in the first 2 years of his presidency, and he didn't bring up immigration reform. And let me play quickly for you here something President Obama himself said about what he just did.
The notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case.
So the president acknowledged that he can't even do legally what he's done here. Cecilia, how do you feel about that? You don't think you think a president, whatever law he wants to make, he should just make it up?
No, he is doing what he has to do because no one is moving. And
what is his basis of doing it when he himself said he cannot?
They are purposely sitting on their laurels like they have.
Hey, you know, Cecilia, who are they? Who are they?
The Republicans.
Oh, the Republicans. So what about when the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate and the president was the White House? How come were they sitting on their laurels too? Silence is your indictment. We've got more calls to take when we come back from this break. 1-800-684-3110. It's exactly why we've got to speak out, folks. If that doesn't make you speak out, I don't know what will. The president's the president. He does whatever he wants. You know, Richard Nixon tried that. It didn't work out so well. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. To sign on that petition, I encourage you to do it today. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Remember, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. It's tax deductible. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, that's easy as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Check us out at ACLJ.org. Like us on Facebook.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
This hour we live in, and that, by the way, if you check out the band here at J Seculo Live, we have a band page now on Facebook called J Seculo Band. A lot of videos will be going up there, some up there already. Hold your head ups up there. I know there's another one about to come, and that one available. If you just check us out on Facebook, you can get information on that. Hey, folks, let me tell you what we want you to do. We want you to sign on to this petition. Many of you are. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let me go to Than here. Procedurally, what is going to happen? We're talking about hearings. What are we talking about here?
Well, first of all, the week that they're going to be back, there will be hearings. I think that there will be significant hearings, Jay. I expect one in the House Judiciary Committee, hopefully, looking at specifically the president's authority to do this. By the way, I think a good side note here, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, he is someone who actually wants to write a comprehensive immigration reform bill. I mean, to the caller's last point, the Republicans in the House don't want to do anything. Well, the person who would be responsible for drafting such a bill has actually been writing one. Wants to move one, but yet he came out last week, Jay, and said that the move by the president was unconstitutional. I would expect to look for him to look at this when Congress returns.
Well, you know, Bob Goodlatte's a good friend of ours, and the truth of the matter is he does want a really thorough review and redrafting of our immigration law and policy. He's the guy to do it, in my view. And I don't disagree. What I really disagree with, though, is a president unilaterally doing that. And Jordan, you've been doing a lot of media on this, too. That really is the focus. No matter what your position is on immigration, it's this unilateral action that is problematic here.
If you're okay with this, and that means that if you not just like what the president has done, but you accept the authority that he's asserted, the power he's asserted, then you're going to have to accept a potentially conservative or Republican president reversing course on this, and you just have to accept that you may not like it, but that's totally within the president's prerogative, and that they can basically go about and not just try to execute the laws and make sure that they are faithfully executed, but begin substantively changing their implementation of those laws. And so it's kind of this situation where you may like it when you support the idea, but are you going to like this kind of policy? You're going to like this style of presidency and this kind of power in the present when it's someone you wholeheartedly disagree with? So that's why I think, you know, when you flip the coin here, you're putting for both sides of on the issues, this is just not how you get things done. It's not how you build a legacy. This is just a political power play that may only last a couple of years.
I want to ask everybody that's listening to the broadcast right now to go to aclj.org or call us at 877-989-2255 and add your name to that petition so you're speaking out on this issue. This is a huge power grab by the president. It's unilateral. There's no underlying authority for it. And I think that's why we've got Democrats that are opposing it as well, because of the nature of what's happened here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to the petition. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's take another phone call.
Sure, let's go to Charles in Georgia on line one. Charles, welcome to J Seculo Live.
Hi, Charles.
Yeah, how are you doing, Jay?
Good.
Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
I kind of wonder if anybody's really thinking about the shell game Obama and Harry Reid pulled. You know, Harry Reid is the point man for Obama, and he just would not let any legislation through so that Obama could blame Congress so he could override Congress.
Well, now you are, let me tell you something. Substantively, you are absolutely correct. Go ahead and finish, but you are absolutely correct. He was the main block in Congress was Harry Reid.
Yeah, and that's what's going on. I mean, he wants to blame Congress so he can overrule Congress, and Harry Reid set up the game for him to play.
So, Jordan and Than, let's talk about that and get a kind of a sense on that. How much of this was a Harry Reid block here?
Well, certainly Harry Reid was doing the president's bidding in Congress. So when you had any kind of substantial, real reform that could potentially get through, bipartisan reform, and if the president didn't like it, they blocked it. And so that was the problem, is that the president talks this big game about Congress passing something, but what he really wanted was only something that he 100% supported. And he had Harry Reid to do his work in Congress. I think that's the point, Dan, is that Harry Reid was there to stonewall any real compromise legislation that would be difficult for Democrats not to support, especially as they were going up to an election, and President Obama not to sign.
I don't think there's any question about it, and I would take it even a step further. I think post-midterm elections, this president was convinced that Republicans were actually going to put a bill on his desk on this issue. He didn't want them to get credit for it.
You're right.
So he felt like he had to get out in front of them.
I think you're absolutely correct. Let's go ahead and take Glenn's call, Jordan, out of Hartford, Connecticut.
Glenn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Glenn. Glenn, you're on the air. Can you hear us, Glenn? We will come back to Glenn. Let's go to Maria, who's calling from Frederick, Maryland, on line two. Hi, Maria.
Hi. Hey, I just quickly wanted to say two things. One, I've just been a new citizen of this country this past year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. After 50 years of living in this country.
That's great.
Now, my question is, and it saddens me to say, I really think that this is a coup d'etat on the president's part. I'm just saying the president, not himself, but the institution that he represents. It's unconstitutional. I didn't become a citizen to live under that kind of dictatorship.
I won't go so far as to say it's a dictatorship, because it's not. But I'll tell you what the president's done here. He has set a course of conduct that is so damaging and so dangerous to our constitutional republic that it really becomes anything goes. And it transfers the idea of a constitutional republic, which is what we have, into something that is much more in the line of a monarch. Now, our friend Dr. Ben Carson was on ABC this week talking about that. I think what Dr. Carson said was absolutely correct. Take a listen to this.
What we've managed to do is to take things that are relevant to all of us and make them into gigantic political issues that further divide us. And we have a mechanism for doing these kinds of things. And we need to emphasize what that mechanism is. It is not for one individual to seize control. If that was the case, why not do that when he first came into office, when he had full control?
That's the question I keep asking, and that's the question I'm going to continue to ask. Hey, folks, we're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, let me tell you, just go over to, if you're SiriusXM, you've got it, of course. If not, just go over to ACLJ.org. You can get it there. I want to go quickly to Jordan Than. How big of an issue is this going through Thanksgiving, coming back when Congress is next week? Will this be the issue? Because Iran and those discussions being pushed off is barely making a mention on the news right now.
Well, I think, you know, this is an issue Americans can have a direct impact in right now. And that is because if they let this go, they're creating this new kind of presidential power, at least for now, until courts may settle and they may not settle it. So ultimately, this is up to the American people. Do they want it to be an issue? Do they keep this an issue? Do they remember what President Obama has done here? And I think that, you know, from our listeners, it's clear that they will. But will the greater American people, those who are not as engaged in the issues, pay attention here?
Yeah. And then, does this issue become front and center when they come back in town next week?
Absolutely. It has to, because it goes so far beyond immigration or amnesty issues. It goes to separation of powers. It is incumbent on the legislative branch to make sure that they retain that lawmaking authority. If they don't stand up to it, Jay, the president will take it.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking more of your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110. Remember, sign on this petition, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. We're also in our matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So that's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Like us on Facebook. Share our information on Facebook. Check out our new Jay Sekulow Band Facebook page as well. And don't forget our book, Rise of ISIS, number one on the New York Times bestsellers list because of you. In bookstores everywhere, we encourage you to engage that issue as well. And again, if you want to support the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Get this song that we did up on our Facebook pages of mine, the ACLJs, and the Jay Sekulow Bands, but we'll do that towards the latter part of the week. Folks, we are taking your calls on the president's unilateral action on immigration reform, and I believe in immigration reform. I'm the grandson of an immigrant, but I also believe that a president has to operate within their constitutional power. But we have a view that is opposed, and that's fine on the broadcast. We live in a free country. That's part of what we get to do. Jordan, let's take Bob's call on line four.
Bob calling in from Maryland. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Dave, thank you so kindly.
Sure.
Hey, I just want to say that I do agree with the president 100%. He had to do something. And the reason why I say that, Jay, is this. Because you have never seen a Congress in gridlock for so long until this president came into power. And see, Americans forget so fast. I remember when you had key people in the Republican Party stood up on national TV and said, we will make sure he's a one-term president.
Yeah, well, that's Bob, let's get away from the politics. Let's talk about the practicality. So when President Bush, George W. Bush was in office, they tried to get immigration, a comprehensive immigration reform bill through. The Democrats opposed it. They didn't want it to come up under a president's watch that was Republican. Then you had the president, Bob, had the White House for 2 years where he had the White House, the House, and the Senate and didn't do anything. So doesn't the president take part of the blame for this problem?
Very little. Because, Jay, like I
you
was
don't,
saying,
Bob, I know you don't believe that. You know the president, if he wanted to get it through when you had the House and the Senate, he could have done it.
No, he could not. Because although you say that he had control of that, you still have to have so many votes. But you have enough
you got filibuster issues.
That could put it in gridlock where it would not go through. See, like I say, most Americans are so fast.
But doesn't it make you, Bob, you sound like a really smart guy. Doesn't it make you nervous that the president is unilateral? If it was one thing, by the way, Bob, so you know I'm in favor of comprehensive immigration reform. I am. I think the system is not good. But I get nervous about any president, Republican or Democrat, when they issue executive orders and when that executive order is not based on underlying legislation. And, Jordan, that's really what we're talking about here.
That's right. And I don't understand why the president needed to do this. I could understand wanting to do this. I could understand that he promised to do this. But, of course, he didn't make good on that promise when he had the chance. And he had a filibuster-proof majority. He could have pushed this. This could have been what President Obama was known for, which was real comprehensive immigration reform, not potentially temporary reform where he has radicalized the power of the executive branch to a point I think will only make liberals in the future very uncomfortable and very unhappy.
He prioritized Obamacare. I mean, plain and simple, He chose Obamacare over this. And I would say just quickly two things. The stonewalling that's happened recently has been in the Senate. But even if Bob were 100% correct, if Congress chose not to act, that still doesn't give the president the authority to step in and write the law.
You know, I think part of what we have to understand here, folks, and this is what's critical, it really doesn't matter what your view is on the issue of immigration or immigration reform, because it goes way beyond that. This is really a constitutional showdown between the President of the United States and the United States Congress. So that's what the real issue is here. Where does the president get his underlying statutory authority or constitutional authority to issue an executive order like this, which creates a substantive right? To me, that is the part and parcel of what the serious problem of this is. There is no doubt that there's going to be, the president knew that the Republicans were going to move an immigration bill. Than, you've said that before very quickly. That was going to happen.
Listen, I think it's the main reason that Speaker Boehner is still the speaker. He wanted to move an immigration bill. I don't think the president wanted him to have credit for moving on the issue.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. All right, folks, we want you to sign on to this petition, ACLJ.org, 1-877-989-2255. And by the way, when you're signing that petition, it's a very narrow request. What we're saying is don't fund the enforcement of the executive order. We're not saying don't fund the government. We're saying don't fund the enforcement of the executive order. The president needs to be held accountable here. This is the way to do it, the power of the purse. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We encourage you to add your name. Also, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate to us, folks, we're getting a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. Like us on Facebook. Follow Jordan on Twitter. And don't forget our book, Rise of ISIS, in bookstores everywhere. Again, if you want to support us at the ACLJ, ACLJ.org.
In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
That's the band here at Jay Sekulow that now has a Facebook page up at Jay Sekulow Band. You could check that out. We encourage you to like it. We'll be posting a lot more material there shortly. We've got a lot of calls. A lot of people have been waiting. We're going to go right to our phones if you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's go to Patricia. She's calling out of San Antonio, Texas.
Patricia, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I just want to make a comment on the executive order of President Obama.
Yep.
Mostly, I disagree, and I'm sorry for everybody else. I'm Hispanic. I'm a fifth, you know, born generation here. I am married to a Mexican man, and he is deported for 10-year ban law. He's been deported for 6 years. And I really, really, it's not about racists. It's not about Republicans. We need to follow the law, but this president breaks the law. And the people that follow him are lawbreakers, and they have to understand that this is wrong. They need to get in line, do it the right way. It's not about Republicans. It's not about racists. It's not about Mexicans. It's about the law.
Well, Patricia, that, you know, if you've been listening to the broadcast, and it sounds like you have, I've been a big advocate of reform here. I think we need comprehensive immigration reform. I really do. But I also believe you got to, you know, really fulfill the law. And this particular situation is the president doesn't have underlying statutory authority to do what he's proposing to do. And I think the answer to that needs to be you don't get to do it. Now, it's not so easy. You know, litigation on this is not going to be easy. And Than, that's where the legislative move is so vital to this.
Well, I think the legislative branch has to make it clear that they're going to fight this. There's a way that they can very clearly do it. Some of the things that the president put forward are going to require money. Congress has to authorize that money. So what they can do in the next fiscal year, they can fund the entire government through a series of 13 bills. They can fund all of it except for the very narrow provisions that the president laid out that cost money. That's something entirely within their constitutional purview to do. And if they're going to take this fight seriously, Jay, it's a fight that they have got to take on, and we're asking them to do it.
All right, and the question is, Jordan, does the American people have the will to hold the president accountable, which will force Congress to do the same?
Well, you know, it looks like the American people had the will to really put a halt to the Obama agenda in full force with the midterm elections. So the question is, does that carry over that kind of enthusiasm and also just consistent pressure on the administration to not only call out their wrongdoing for a couple of days and move on, but really break it down and to fight it? And so that is always the question when it comes to the American people is how much of a fight are they willing to put up?
All right, folks, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And we're taking your calls. Also, if you want to sign on to that petition, you could do that at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's going to be not funding the president's executive order. It's that straightforward. aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's take another call.
Tim calling in from North Dakota on line 5. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Tim. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller.
Great.
I got to go back to my schooling. I remember I was taught that the purpose of the Constitution was to protect our liberties, and this is going to, you know, drive to where I'm going to go. Not just to protect our liberties, but also to prevent socialism and communism from infiltrating through the power of government. And that's what I believe. I firmly believe that you have a lot of socialists and communists hiding behind the title of liberal Democrats, because the Democrats my parents grew up with, the Kennedys and stuff, liberalism, this country wasn't founded on liberalism. Not
well,
Islam.
And then, by the way, the liberalism of John F. Kennedy, he'd be a conservative today if you look at his policies. I mean, he was for lower taxes, smaller bureaucratic government, I mean, strong national defense, and he fought the communists hard. But I think you're asking the fundamental philosophical question of what's going on here. And I think at the end of the day, what's going on here is the president is doing this to intentionally cause a showdown with the United States Congress, setting up for the next general election for president so that they will blame Congress. And I think that's where the Republicans and the Democrats that are united on this. And they're, by the way, and Fan, it's important to point out that there are Democrats that are opposed to what the president's done here, a number of them.
Yeah, high-profile Democrats. I mean, in the Senate, Joe Manchin and Joe Donnelly came out very forcefully. And honestly, Jay, I think the reason they came out forcefully, instead of just staying behind the scenes, is because they knew what we've been saying today on this broadcast. They knew there was a strong likelihood of working across
right.
the aisle in the next Congress to achieve this. And so what the president has actually done is set back an agenda that they were in favor of, and they thought it was important to speak out against it.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. Jordan, how much of that do you think was at play here? The president wanted to circumvent a move on Congress's part.
Well, that's certainly, to some extent, I think that the truth is that he didn't want legislation that wasn't 100% what he wanted to be his known as his immigration reform. So instead of allowing Congress to pass something that would be acceptable to them, and of course that would include border security, and you know, for some reason the left, I mean, I have why I think so, but they don't want border security really, and so with that he again would rather have a short-term, not long-standing, probably not a full reform, not something people can rely on for decades to come, but more acceptable to his Democrat and liberal agenda than a bipartisan immigration reform that would include really doing more to close down the borders for illegal entry. But I think what they're trying to do is create a base of support by continuing to have a very open border, which is very easy to cross when people want to, and try at the same time to start legalizing everyone who does so.
And, you know, what's so fascinating in all this, folks, is there's no pathway to citizenship for what the president's doing. So it puts those that are here illegally that come forward on this planet, I mean, I think at increased risk. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're taking some of the calls that are opposed as well. Let's take Steve's call out of Chicago, Jordan.
Steve, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick comment.
Sure.
You keep saying what the president can and what the president can't do. Well, Bush did a lot of things when he was in office that he could and couldn't do. But
Like what, Steve?
Hear me out.
Well, I'm asking you, like, what did the President Bush do by, let's be specific, executive order that he was not able to do, not have the authority to do?
Left the House in a disarrayment. Bush, Obama did the best he could with what he's got to work with. Everybody's always talking about what Obama did.
Yeah, but I understand you're supporting the president, but Steve, you don't really believe that any president can take unilateral action on their own on something as comprehensive as immigration reform and do that without congressional authority.
Man, Bush, I believe this.
Steve, let's not – I only got a few minutes left in this segment. Let's not – blaming this on President Bush is a pretty cheap shot in my view, Steve, to be quite honest.
It's not. Bush got the house. Bush got corporate America like it is now.
Uh-huh.
And everybody wants to put the ball
Let's
on
blame
Obama
Bush.
And say it's his fault. But it's not Obama's fault.
Then we were attacked on 9/11 because of George Bush, too?
He's got to work with.
Yeah.
He's done the best he could. What he's got
to look, I'm not – here's what – this was – Steve, you know what? Where you're being naive? This was a political move. Do you not understand? This was a move of political expedience. The president had the House and the Senate for 2 years. He could have moved immigration reform through. He chose not to do it. And, Jordan, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about.
Absolutely right. And so I think, you know, when you have people like Steve and you may be supportive of the president's agenda, you have to realize that this is not a long-term agenda. This is not an accomplishment. This is an assertion of power which the next president can take away. And so a footnote in history. So selling it as this major change, as if he has fixed something that was so broken, I think it's not only false, it's very misleading to the American people to put this kind of power into the presidency alone. And if we allow presidents to act this way, we're going to be setting a precedent for future presidents to do things that you may not like in the future, but they'll base on this exact assertion of executive power.
Fan, so really at the end of the day, what we're dealing with here, and that's what Jordan just said is so correct, it's not just the policy on immigration, which a lot of us believe needs to be thoroughly reformed. It's the president's unilateral action that should be the focus of congressional action here.
Yeah, I actually think the president set back the policy on this. I think there would have been a legislative deal had it not happened. But it's interesting that Steve references George W. Bush, because George W. Bush spent a lot of effort trying to get a legislative fix through Congress. Ultimately, he was not successful. He did not get what he wanted. He didn't go do what President Obama just did. He didn't act unilaterally. He said, Congress won't do it. That means I can't do it right now. Big difference.
Huge difference, folks. And this is, I said, there's a lot of politics at play here. We're going to break some of that down when we come back from the break. By the way, you probably also heard 30,000 IRS emails miraculously recovered. Jordan, we don't know what they were for, though, yet. You were on the air on that. We don't know if they were lowest learners. We don't know if they were already released in other context.
That's right. We know the time frame is when the emails went missing, 2009 to 2011. The question is, out of the 30,000 documents which are being decoded now, which, by the way, the IRS commissioner said were deleted and gone forever.
Yeah, I guess not.
Found on tapes. We're just not sure exactly what it contains, but it will certainly contain some new information, and I think that will be beneficial to these new Republican-led committees, especially in the United States Senate, who will be tackling this really for the first time, and they'll have some fresh information.
I'm going to be on with Bill Hemmer and Martha McCallum tomorrow morning on Fox News discussing that very issue. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Folks, sign on to that petition supporting us and our efforts to not allow the president to act in an unconstitutional manner. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, matching challenge campaign is underway. We need your help. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. Talk to you in a moment.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. information. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the J. Sekulow Band. Order Rise of Isis online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Because of your support, folks, Rise of Isis was number one on the New York Times bestsellers list for paperbacks and nonfiction, and we appreciate that. It still is available in bookstores everywhere. Let me encourage you, as the issue continues, to go ahead and get your copy and get some for your friends. Rise of Isis, a threat we can't ignore. Let me give Jordan to give an update here on the situation with Iran and the nuclear talks, because we're worried about the Saeed tie-in on this. A delay, which is not unexpected here. What's the latest?
Yeah, I mean, what we're looking at now from Iran is this new interim kind of continuation of the talks. So there was not a deadline deadline met, which was today. Instead, they've announced an extension of the deadline, a full extension till July 1st. And that means that until July 1st, Iran will continue to receive $700 million a month in sanctions relief. So that will be, again, billions of dollars in sanctions relief by the time we get to July. And that's just from the United States. This is the P5 plus one. So the world powers dealing with Iran. And there is supposed to be a middle deadline, March 1st, for a broad agreement with Iran. You know, what it's coming to be very clear is that there may be some deal, a nuclear deal with Iran, but it's likely not going to happen until the end of the Obama presidency. And until really Iran feels like this is kind of their last chance, because they won't be able to predict who the next president of the United States will be and whether they'll be willing to negotiate with Iran this way. So I think ultimately there may be some deal, but right now the question is, what will motivate the Iranians at this point when they get their extension without having to change anything? They haven't had to do anything else to get that extension except for not agree to a deal. So they get their extension. What is going to motivate them to release someone like Pastor Saeed Abedini without more pressure from the U.S. directly? I mean, it doesn't seem like, I would always like to be surprised, but it doesn't seem like part of this extension deal was getting Saeed home.
Yeah, unfortunately not. At least that's what appears right now. Hopefully we're wrong, and we'll be praying for Saeed Abedini, Nagme, and the kids as well on this situation. And we're working diligently around the clock. We've got teams all over the globe working on Pastor Saeed's case. All right, we're going to go through these very quickly here, folks. We had a lot of calls. Let's go right to them, Jordan.
Yeah, Mike in California on line one. Mike, welcome to J. Sekulow Live.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jay, God bless you guys. I'd like to start off by prefacing, I'm Hispanic and I'm an American citizen, but I believe in our constitutional republic, number one. And most Hispanic people, when you explain it to them, they understand that.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing, Jay. This man under Frank Marshall David, he's been influenced by radicals. He doesn't believe in our constitutional republic. This is an attack on our system to eviscerate the separation of powers. And what he's going to do next, he's going to unilaterally do the arms agreement with Iran. He's not going to care because he has no opposition right now.
Well, he has opposition. He just doesn't care that he does. You're right. I mean, his unilateral actions, I think, may reach scopes that we've never seen before. The president said he was going to do it. He said he was going to use his pen and his phone, and he's going to do it.
Well, we hear what we heard from Mike a lot. The Hispanic community that is doing this the right way, doing it the legal way, they oppose what the president just did, Jay. I mean, because they respect the rule of law. They oppose other people cutting the line illegally. And I would just say, we've said this a lot today, but Speaker Boehner and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Bob Goodlatte, this was their number one priority for the next Congress. The president didn't even let them get into Congress right. And take their seats and try to draft it before going along.
Well, that was a checkmate approach. I mean, he was trying to play chess with them and thought he was going to do check and checkmate. I mean, there was going to be check and then boom, checkmate. I don't think it's going to work. The opposition on this, it's not going to work if folks like you speak out, folks. Again, we've got a petition up on this at ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's get another couple calls here.
Karen calling from Georgia, online for Karen. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Basically, I think this man has never been about the American people. He's always been about himself. I sat back and I watched him do his stupid, the insurance stuff that he pulled. And
Obamacare. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, everything this man has ever done has all been about, hey, I'm in power and you're
going to win. Well, there is no doubt, Jordan, that he is putting forward, I mean, he's got an agenda and he's getting to it.
Yeah, that's right. And so that's part of what's happening here is this is that final 2 years of the presidency. Congress is basically in a situation where, one, the Democrats are not as beholden to President Obama. They're looking towards the future, either their future reelection efforts or the future race for the White House. And so they're not they're not going to be as susceptible to the arm twisting as maybe they were the past 6 years. And then also dealing with the reality that made a lot of promises. He didn't keep his first term, got reelected, but still pretty easily. And so now is trying to make good on those promises and trying to, I think, create a legacy. The problem here is that Obamacare is itself falling apart and is under still legal attack. I mean, it's at the U.S. Supreme Court once again. And this move on immigration is really not a move on immigration. It's a move on trying to grant work permits and reprieve from deportation, which is not an immigration and path to citizenship reform.
All right, let's go ahead and take Todd, who's calling from Idaho Online 5. Hi, Todd.
Hi. I observed from the president's speech that he gave a personalized account of an individual who was suffering under the current immigration laws. And it reminded me a lot of what happened when he was campaigning for Obamacare, that he cited for people that were not getting life-saving procedures. And we were emotionally drawn into, I mean, a lot of Americans were emotionally drawn into believing that that's what it was about. And instead, we got a lot of stuff about.
Well, this is the president's modus operandi. I mean, he's very good on the stump, and that's where he's trying. He tries to make this a stump speech kind of approach. But then we've got to realize that underlying this is the president has done this unilaterally, again, with no statutory authority. Maribel is calling from San Jose, California, on line 3. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jay. I just want to say we love you for standing up for our rights. And hang in there, because I hear you get quite a few calls, but I don't know how you handle those.
Oh, that's okay. Anyways, it's a free country. They can do opposition, but go ahead.
Good attitude. I love it. I just wanted to share that my parents came over legally. They were separated because of the fact that one was allowed and the other one wasn't until a year after. And so hearing my parents' pain that they went through trying to get into this country, they did it legally. And it's not fair. I mean, I do have a lot of illegal friends, coworkers that are here. I love them, but hey, you know what? You're cutting in line. And my thing about Obama is he condoning people to do things illegally.
Well, that's one of the really serious concerns there. I appreciate your call. Look, my grandfather came here legally too, but his father came first, and then the kids came about a year later. I mean, this is, you know, I do think we need comprehensive immigration reform so we don't have that kind of situation. Having said that, that comes through the Congress, not through the President of the United States. Jordan's going to let you know how you can stand with us in this fight for freedom. It's critical that we hear from you.
As always, you can go to ACLJ.org and sign petitions online and get involved that way. And it's a great resource, too, to share our interviews, our information, the blogs that are up there at ACLJ.org, or call our toll-free number now, 877-989-2255. 2255 is the toll-free number you call to get involved in this issue, to stop President Obama's lawless immigration order. And I think we've got to take action now. We can't wait on this. There's going to be a lot of things. So you think what's just happened since that announcement. Secretary Hagel, Secretary of Defense, has stepped down or been fired by President Obama. You have an extension of the Iranian nuclear deal. And that's just in the past 3 days. There will be more to come. So we've got to fight now. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. Or go to aclj.org and sign the petition online.
Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.